Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. So something very simple, yet infused with blessed unproductivity, happened to me recently. My 4-year-old Bennett and I were on a walk home from the park earlier this summer. And I said, you know, Bennett, it's time to start heading home. And Bennett said urgently, but Mom, did you see the clouds? And he stretched out on his back and looked up at the clouds and said, Mom, there's so many things to find in the clouds. Come on, find them with me. So I humored him. The grass was a little wet on my back, and I looked up to see that there were, in fact, many things in the clouds. There was a grizzly bear. There was the underside of a boat. There was an ice cream cone. Many other things. And tragically, I would have missed them. Now, was this a classic Bennett stalling tactic? Yes, it definitely was. But Bennett's insistence on observing and celebrating creation got me outside of myself and my busy day just for a few minutes to consider the clouds. And then on the walk home, to consider the wildflowers, the stones, the bird's call. And then Owen joined in, 16-month-old Owen, joined in from his stroller and started two-handed waving. He's in this two-handed wave phase to everything that we saw. So he's like, hi, sidewalk! Hi, clouds! Like, he's just very excited. So he even joined in. These moments are gifts of blessed unproductivity that children can draw us into if we let them. Consider the wildflowers, Jesus instructs us. Cease your toiling to allow yourself to be drawn into blessed unproductivity, sacred downtime, holy rest, Sabbath. This spiritual practice that can be an offering to God and a way of reorienting our lives. So today I want to share some current reflections. Specifically, I want to interrogate the who and what and when and why and how of this spiritual discipline. And there are so many guides, so many spiritual guides on this journey that I'd recommend to you. Of course, scripture, as well as mentors like Abraham Heschel, Wendell Berry, Barbara Brown Taylor, Lauren Winter, Mary Oliver, and of course, Anita Amstutz, who attends Albuquerque Mennonite in our conference, and she's written a book on this very topic, so I'd recommend that to you as well. So in preparing for this sermon, I just started by Googling, right? That's a good way to start a sermon. So I Googled the word unproductivity, which technically isn't a word. Unproductive is. Unproductivity isn't. But articles started coming up, right? And they had names like 40 motivational quotes for work, productivity, and success. And I was like, wait, I was going for unproductivity, and suddenly we have productivity, right? One of these quotes that came up was Stephen Hawking, who says, work gives you meaning and purpose, and life is empty without it. Or Benjamin Franklin, who apparently said, lost time is never found again. Guys, the pressure's on, right? And every synonym that started popping up on my search had this negative connotation, right? Useless, futile, lazy, ineffective, worthless. Unproductive time is worthless time, right? Or this one got me, uncreative. Ouch. So this Googling reminded me of how much sacred downtime is this counter-narrative to a consumer society that ends up consuming us in the pressure to produce all the time, right? And then this emptiness that we feel without work. In this time of pandemic, I think there also seems to be a fearful urgency, right? Get everything done to make up for lost time or to try to control the future. The prevailing currents of our capitalistic society seem unable to call unproductivity blessed or holy, and yet our great religious traditions definitely do. So, we can't responsibly talk about blessed unproductivity without acknowledging and learning from the practice of Sabbath in Judaism, Jesus' own religion, right? So Sabbath is the most frequently reiterated of all 613 commandments in the Bible. In the Ten Commandments in Exodus, Sabbath is a bridge between how you treat God, you shall have no other gods before me, and how you treat others. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, etc. It is a bridge between those two. So Scripture is helping to clarify who the Sabbath is about, right? It's really not synonymous with this popular self-care, have a spa day type movement. Instead, it gets us out of ourselves to better focus on God and on others. It's an offering of our time and energy to the Lord your God. At its best, Sabbath also has deep interconnectedness with others, including creation and animals and other people. Okay, so that's who the Sabbath is about. But what does this spiritual practice look like exactly? So the rules of the Jewish Sabbath may seem a bit over the top. Don't drive, don't write a grocery list, and definitely don't go shopping with that list. Don't even carry scissors because you might be tempted to use them, which is forbidden. Rabbis figured out 39 categories of activities to be avoided and then hashed out what each one of those rules meant. I have a story about this, actually. When I was in Israel, Palestine, studying abroad, I was once in a Jewish household on Shabbat, and the matriarch of the house said, Oh, you're a Christian. Come over here. Can you turn that light switch on for me?" So I sheepishly kind of went over and turned it on. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, in ancient Judaism, breaking the Sabbath could be the death penalty. So am I aiding and abetting a criminal by turning on this light switch, right? So in attempting to practice Sabbath rest, you can get carried away with the shalt nots, for sure, right? Jesus himself chastised folks when they tried to chastise him for healing on the Sabbath, right? The rules got in the way of the spirit of it. The spirit of the Sabbath has so little to do with legalism. The point of those shalt nots is to make the thou shalts possible, right? And the thou shalts are all about life. What should you be doing? In Judaism, Sabbath, you are commanded to be joyful, to be restful, to hold feasts and sing happy songs. Married couples get rabbinical brownie points for having sex on the Sabbath. It's not just about ceasing activity and vegging out on Netflix, right? But instead mirroring God in joyful, soulful rest and play. Enjoy, don't do. Live, don't toil and produce. Just be present in the moment. Don't get depressed about the past or anxious about the future. So whether we Christians or others who are not Jewish choose a day once a week, or an hour every day, whatever that structure looks like for us, however we incorporate blessed unproductivity into our routines, the heart of it is living and loving in the moment. Okay, this sounds great, Amy, but how do we do that? I don't know about you, but my life is crazy, right? Okay, so I understand why the rabbis set up all these rules. Resting, which should theoretically be easy, can be the hardest thing in the world. For me, working full-time for our conference with a family, including a 16-month-old and a 4-year-old, is not a recipe for quiet meditation, right? I also happen to come from a long line of workaholics. Maybe you can relate. I have a grandfather, for instance, who worked the night shift at the factory and then owned and and ran a farm during the day. So he barely slept for most of his adult life, right? If what our faith and life speakers shared earlier this year is true, then I actually might have an epigenetic legacy of workaholism working against me, right? My very brain, my body, has been generationally wired to overwork. So I realized, for me, I need to make my own rules of rest. Yes to writing in a journal, no to writing emails. Yes to reading, no to screen watching. Yes to walks with friends, yes to diaper changing, wah, wah, and handling emergencies, and then forgiving myself when I fail, because I'm definitely going to fail. The busier we are, and the more people who depend on us, the more intentionality we will have to practice this spiritual discipline. One exercise that may be helpful to get started is to create a list. So on one side of the page, you can write down things that give me life, that bring me joy. Write them down. Singing, playing with kids and grandkids, savoring a nice meal, right? And then on the other side of the page, write reasons I don't do them. And then come back to this page when you feel that emptiness growing inside you. It can feel like a lot of work to rest. And so I want to go in deeper into this question of why. We know that the Bible commands it, that Jesus encourages it, but really, why? Why be blessedly unproductive? Because humility is hard to come by. And if the Creator took a breather, then the world will almost assuredly not fall apart if we relax for a bit. Another way to say it is, the Sabbath teaches all beings who to praise. Why be blessedly unproductive? Because our souls long for a respite from the tyranny of technology. Because we need to face the deep human fear of what happens when the screens and the chirpings of our devices go dark and silent, and learn to be alone with our beating hearts and our God. Why be blessedly unproductive? Because it reminds us of our interconnectedness to each other, which grows in us a hunger for justice. We work for a world where no one would have to work two or three jobs to make ends meet, where housing is affordable, right? Where workers have not the privilege, but the right to a day off. And likewise, that the land itself would not be exploited, but would practice jubilee. Sabbath is a gift to the tired fields and animals. Just because the land and the livestock cannot hire lawyers doesn't mean that they haven't been violated, right? This practice is infused with a vision of humane life for all creatures. As Pope Francis just said a few weeks ago in an address, if we learn to truly rest, we become capable of true compassion. Why be blessedly unproductive? Because of neuroscience. Meditation, contemplative prayer, these sacred restful activities literally restructure our brains after a while. Our brain pathways become more interconnected, making us better at learning, observing, and appreciating our surroundings. Our consciousness becomes a tiny bit more childlike in the best way possible, able to learn more quickly. So this type of rest connects our brain to its own self, right? This interconnectedness starts at home. Isn't that cool? Why be blessedly unproductive? Because it also connects us to creation. Hear this poem from Wendell Berry called The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Why be blessedly unproductive? Because we're a peace church. And this practice can help restore right relationships to each other. Because the kingdom of heaven looks a lot less like writing work emails and a lot more like laughter and the peace of lying in the grass with children to find animals in the clouds. Why be blessedly unproductive? Because it has everything to do with heaven. It is the culmination of creation. It is shalom here on earth. In the life to come, we will not need to labor to make ends meet. We will not need to do missions outreach anymore, believe it or not. We will have right relationships. Sabbath gives us a window to look into the reality of heaven. As Rabbi Heschel says, the Sabbath thus is a profound conscious harmony of humans and the world, a participation in the spirit that unites what is below and what is above. All that is divine in the world is brought into union with God. This is Sabbath and the true happiness of the universe. Blessed unproductivity is to live for just a while as though heaven is already here, because in the end, all will be Sabbath. So this week, this month, this year, go ahead. Find you some cloud animals. Let's get to practicing what heaven will be like here and now. Amen.